Ryan had slept soundly, waking only once during the calm night.
Oh, morning, Ryan.
Morning. I'll have coffee, toast, ham, eggs over easy, fresh orange juice, grits, pancakes, maple syrup, fries, and then some more coffee. You got all of that?
We got berries fresh and berries medium rare and berries well done, Ryan. Oh, we also got berries.
Serve me up a steaming platter of those elusive berries.
Should we do some hunting?
The armorer stretched his arms wide, then adjusted his fedora.
Might not be a bad idea. No hurry to leave this place. Who knows what the food situation will be like farther south. Could run into an old hotspot or find ourselves in some muddy paradise.
Could get us a deer.
Pig might be better. If it wasn't for my leg, I'd come with you. Even with my stick, I figure I'd get in the way.
I'll go with John. If game's that plentiful, I could certainly bring something down with my revolver. Could do with some practice.
Fine. The rest of us will stay around here. Collect some more dry wood. Scavenge around for vegetables to go with the meat.
I believe that I saw some sweet potatoes last night. Should I go and dig some up?
Yeah. And if there's any old buckets or pots to cook in. If there's this orchard, then the remains of an old house can't be all that far away.
We could go look, Ryan. We don't have to make it all the way south to Shiloh today. Just for once, we got this quiet time. Let's make the best of it.
Mind if I borrow your stire again, Ryan?
Of course not.
JB looked at Mildred as he picked the weapon off the ground.
Just in case you miss.
That's about as likely as Joe Montana losing a Super Bowl.
Mildred noticed her friend's bewilderment.
He's the greatest quarterback that ever lived. Played mainly for the Niners during the 80s. I mean, the greatest.
Young deer or a tender little piggy. I'll leave it to you. Yeah. Good luck, friends.
Ryan and Christy struck inland as JB and Mildred took off in the other direction, guns in hand. Doc and Jack stayed behind. Soon, Ryan and Christy were completely alone in the lush green wilderness.
How's the leg, lover?
Had worse. Had better. From my experience of getting myself shot, the second day is often the worst. The bleeding stopped and the bruises coming out. Gotta stop the muscles from stiffening up. A bit of exercise like this is about the best thing I could do. Anyway, Mildred said she thought that it likely wouldn't do me no harm.
Any harm.
That's what I said.
Sure.
Christy took Ryan's arm as they stepped over a rough patch of ground.
Looks like this might have been steps once. Part of a formal garden, maybe?
Ryan gazed around where they stood. They were among some delicate flowering shrubs with pink and silver fronded flowers. Ryan didn't know the names of many ornamental plants. Trader often used to say that there wasn't much point in knowing the names of something you couldn't eat.
Suppose there could be a garden somewhere under all this. A house, even?
Oh, the scent of those flowers is wonderful, lover. If there is the ruins of a house, it could be buried in among those trees yonder.
She pointed to the northeast, where the tops of a grove of sturdy sycamores waved in a freshening morning breeze.
The steps, with sort of carved faces on the rocks over that little pool.
The pool was dried up, maybe due to leaking conduits, but its green-stained side showed where it had stood. As they looked, a pair of tiny frogs, glittering like golden jewels, hopped across the path in front of them.
This must have been a hell of a beautiful place once. Serious Jack involved.
Unless it was some sort of a public park. Maybe a museum or a gallery.
More paintings like in the redoubt? That I wouldn't mind seeing.
All right to go a little farther?
Sure thing. That's Mildred's target revolver. One bullet. Should mean we'll be having some good eating when we get back to the raft.
You don't mind us not moving south straight away?
Of course not. Why?
You're a walking dude, Ryan Cotter. Man who moves and wants to keep moving. Staying still in one place even for a few hours isn't hardly in your nature.
Thing doesn't move, then it rots.
Thing doesn't put down roots and it'll die. Mother Sonia warned me about marrying a gambling man or a traveling man. She would have liked you, Ryan.
You think so?
I know so.
Would I have liked her? Yeah, I know I would. Sorry that I'll never get the chance.
They didn't say she was dead. Just up and vanished.
Christy turned away, but Ryan caught the glint of sudden tears.
Maybe one day.
Why not? Look at Trader. I thought the old dog bought the farm years ago. And there he was. Large as life and twice as unpleasant.
Mother Sonia could be alive, couldn't she?
I won't lie to you, love. Odds are she's long dead. That's the way it is in Deathlands. There's a chance. Sort of woman who was your mother has to have something special going for her. Why not?
Stoop to get upset on such a lovely morning in such a lovely place. Should be enjoying living, not getting maudlin and sad about the... about those who've gone.
Right. Shall we go on up these steps and see what we find? Can't see any tracks of any kind around here.
The stairs were wide enough for a good-sized wag to drive down them, lined with creepers that hung their purple flowers to the ground. They opened onto a long terrace, edged with ornamental shrubs and drooping willows, growing alongside a narrow stream that flowed slowly through the garden, its limpid surface covered in waxen pink lilies.
There. That looks like a building covered with ivy.
Could be. Looks kind of like a church.
Yeah, it does.
Now they could see it more clearly. It consisted of a single story, a kind of stubby tower at one end, with a crenellated top to it and a large clock face, handless, the gilt Roman numerals faded and worn. There were windows all along the side of the building, and a door, iron-studded, protected by a large porch.
It's definitely a kind of church. Looks real old. Lovely, honey-colored stones.
Doesn't seem much damaged.
There's a track leading to it from the opposite direction. Maybe there's a highway out that way.
Could be. Don't want to go too far and attract attention. We'll take a quick look. Then I think we should get back to the raft. See what kind of food Mildred shot for us. I'm feeling hungry again.
Me too. Oh, beautiful flowers. Makes you feel almost dizzy with their smell. All right, lover. Let's go take a look.
The small building was in an amazingly good state of preservation. On one side, there was a range of stained glass windows, but from the exterior, it wasn't possible to see what they portrayed. On the other, northern flank, the glass was clear, as if the color had been leached from it.
Could have been some kind of radiation from a skyburst.
Ryan leaned on his stick as he stared at the windows.
Likely a neutron nuke.
Path's been kept trimmed back, and someone's mown the grass at the side by the porch. Let's look inside.
Ryan wasn't comfortable. The short hairs at his nape were prickling, often a sign of some sort of impending threat.
You feel anything?
Christy stopped, her hand reaching for the twisted iron handle of the arch double door.
Yes. Could be someone's not too far away, feeling sort of blurred.
Bad?
No, not bad. Not anything. You know, it's often sort of confused. Might be someone good at veiling their true feelings. Come on, let's look inside.
Inside the vestibule was a wooden notice, painted black, neatly lettered in Gothic gold printing. The Shrine of the Blessed Antoninus of Padua, founded 1889. Come in to worship. Ryan ran his fingers over the lettering, looking at them.
Clean. Been wiped free from dust in the last day or so.
Must be a priest.
We should get back to the raft.
In a minute. The door's open, look.
Christy walked away from Ryan into the cool interior. He followed her, catching the strong smell of incense, a scent that seemed to overlay another, more familiar odor that made him hesitate. But he couldn't quite identify the elusive smell. There were a dozen pews ranged down each side, and a stone altar sat at the far end of the nave. Now in the gloomy interior, with the bright sun outside, it was possible to appreciate the delicate stained glass. Five separate windows ran down one side. The other side still had the lead patterning, but all color was gone, and the glass was starred and fractured. Walking down the aisle, they admired the workmanship of the pictures. They all, oddly, showed scenes of violence, but done in a Victorian classical way, strangely devoid of emotion. Despite the horror show, nobody seemed to be actually suffering any real pain or emotion. A man in a white sheet was being stabbed to death by a dozen others, similarly clothed. A tall, powerful black man was strangling a slender young woman across a wide bed. A grizzled man in armor knelt on the floor, arms held tightly, while a shadowy figure was plucking his eyes from their sockets. A blonde woman held out stumps of arms, her mouth wide open to show the bloodied rags of her tongue. And in the last picture, a wretched man was being drowned in what looked like a barrel of beer. Christy turned away from the stained glass with an expression of disgust.
Brilliantly done, but horrible. Why put something like that in a church? It's hideous.
Well, you focus on death, It helps you appreciate life more.
I remember reading some plays by an old-time pre-dark writer called Shakespeare back in Harmony. I think these, some of them anyway, are from his plays. Maybe the other side was the same before it got nuked.
A large Bible stood open on a lectern in the shape of a brass eagle. Ryan walked to it, stopping by a carved plaque set in the wall.
This is a shrine to the blessed memory of Saint Antoninus of Padua and all penitents, remembering the legendary visit to this spot of Josephus of Arimathea, where it was once stated that this site on the Tennessee River was perhaps a hiding place of the Holy Grail. Holy Grail? I didn't know that any of the old gospelers ever got this far west.
Christy walked to the bottom of the tower, craning her head back, staring up at a single bronze bell with a long red and white plaited rope dangling from it. Ryan looked at the book on the lectern, realizing that it wasn't actually like any Bible that he'd ever seen. It was open to the second chapter of the dissertation of the blessed Alphonse Donatien.
Only through pain and suffering shall there be redemption and an end to mortal weakness. Agony is seemly. There shall be those who endure and tolerate the rending of their flesh and the splintering of their bones, and there shall also be those that shall carry out such punishments in the name of all the holy ones. Pretty sick stuff.
Christy was unable to resist the temptation and loosened the rope from its cleat.
Leave it. You want to rouse the whole bastard country against us?
Nobody here but us chickens, boss. Take it easy, lover. I always wanted to do this.
Ryan noticed that there was something lying on top of the altar. It was a multi-thonged whip with tiny metal barbs knotted into each lash. All of them were stiff and stained black with what looked unmistakably like old, dried blood. Suddenly, the feeling of danger became much stronger.
Come on. Something's not right about this place. This isn't a proper church.
Christy let go of the rope.
Probably be able to hear that down by the river, unless the noise of the water drowns it. Still, Mildred and JB would be close enough.
Ryan joined her, peering up in the darkness at a narrow metal ladder that climbed into the tower. He could see the softly swinging, silent bell.
Let's get out of here, before someone comes and brings trouble.
Welcome, pilgrim.